Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my other two Zords to form the mega ultra powerful Geek Lord Zord. Randy, Justin, how you guys doing? Justin, you first.
I don't know about all that Zord talk. I'm good. Happy birthday. What is the
Thank
Zord?
You.
Is that the dinosaurs?
Those are the dinosaurs. Oh, you're back like you don't know.
Dino DNA!
Embrace your geekdom. You're like,
I don't have power. No, I don't do Power Rangers. Never
you're
have.
You're right. You're in the shower washing. You're like, go, go, Justin Cavendish.
I was a Voltron kid. I didn't do I was already too old for Power Rangers by the time it came out.
Yeah, I think I was too old for Power Rangers, too. I was a Voltron guy growing up.
Voltron. Voltron was the shit.
Same basic thing, though, kind of.
Sure.
Lions coming together to form a big robot to fight whatever big bad, whatever kaiju happened to be threatening the city.
It's a fascinating thing from like a production standpoint, because I don't know if you know that like all the action is from a Japanese show called Super Sentai that they filmed years before, and then so they got all of this footage of like the actual like martial arts and the swords and the enemy monsters, and then they filmed American teenagers and built a plot around it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And then after a certain time period, they exhaust all of the footage from Super Sentai. So then they have to go to like the next series and stuff like that. And Super Sentai was actually like the 16th season, though, is the one they used for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And so, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy talk. Sorry. Got off track because Power Rangers came out this weekend and I saw it and I really enjoyed it. I know you guys didn't see it, but I think it's definitely a fun film. I think, we paid $6 for our 4 tickets, so it helps when they're super cheap. And
did you go for your birthday? Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, we ended up going for my birthday the next morning on Sunday. Like Atom Tickets, ATOM. Like they, if you sign up, they've been doing these crazy promos. So like last week, we saw Beauty and the Beast, and we got 4 tickets for $12. And then this weekend, we saw Power Rangers. We got 4 tickets for $8.79.
What is Atom Ticket?
It's a website. Like Atom Tickets, I don't know if it's AtomTickets.com, Atom.com, whatever. But yeah, you sign up and they send you all they like text or email you deals. And I got to pick the theater and the time I wanted to see it, and they just put in a promo code and like, oh, your shit is free. I was like, sweet.
What?
Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Do they do hotels and stuff?
I don't believe so.
I need a hotel in Vegas and they're all like $300.
You gotta stay off the strip. You gotta stay in like Joe's Motel.
I want on the strip.
I'm going next month for NAB and I am staying in the shittiest little podunk like hooker motel. It was like 100 and change a night.
It was
so cheap.
Dude, every hotel on the strip is so much money right now. I thought there was some kind of convention going on, but I'm just out of luck. It's like $300.
Yeah, it's no bueno. Yeah. Even on Expedia.com.
Yeah, I checked everything. Expedia, Priceline, your face, Shatner.com. I tried everything, and it's all it's all expensive.
That's too bad.
It is.
That's expensive.
It is.
Are you going like on a weekend or something like that?
Yeah, I'm going in May.
Oh, okay. Like Memorial Day weekend?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if that's...
Oh, I hope not. No, it's not. Okay. Whew, I got scarred.
That could make it expensive. But anyways, Power Rangers, you guys should check it out. If it's probably you guys will probably want to wait till it's on cable or Redbox, but when it comes out, you'll like it. It's a fun film. It's got some hats, some whatnot, some who's it, some what's it galore, thingabobs. I got 20.
Did it beat Beauty and the Beast?
It did not. Beauty and the Beast made $88 million in its second week.
Wow.
And Power Rangers ended up somewhere in like the low 40s, which was higher than expectations. They thought it would make around like the mid 30s. So it performed better than they thought. But yeah, Beauty and the Beast, $88 million. pretty impressive. So it's at almost $300 million domestically already. Worldwide, it's past five, I believe. So it'll be this year's first billion-dollar picture. Deservedly so. Fantastic film. Almost as good as, you know, the Justice League movie is going to be, right, Justin? You saw that trailer. Tell me, you love that movie, don't you?
Ooh. I can tell that they wanted me to be excited for it, if that helps. You know, they're throwing the jokes, they got the music playing, everyone's being a bit of a badass, and Batman's trying to be funny, so I hope it works. We were talking about this before, or off the air, rather, and... You know, they're fighting these hordes and hordes of monsters, which will be a great opportunity for each of our heroes to just be a badass and have their moment in the sun, even though it is a gloomy-looking movie. But I think you'll be able to see Flash do his super speeds. You'll see Batman with all of his gadgets, Wonder Woman pound face, Cyborg flying around like the Iron Man and shooting off missiles, and then Aquaman is just kind of all over the place. So that should be exciting, and then hopefully we'll get to keep Superman under wraps and not see him until he's actually in the movie. I think that would be our best bet trailer wise, is just to hold off on Superman altogether, tease him like Godzilla.
That would be cool, but this is DC and Warner Brothers. You know we're going to see him in the final trailer or the next trailer. They can't. I wish they'd hold him back, but I can't imagine they will. Like that line when Flash asked Batman what his secret special power was, and he's all like, "I'm rich."
Yeah. We've been saying that shit for years.
Money, cure all wounds. What did you think about it, Randy? Did you dig it? Did you love it?
I'm not gonna say I loved it, but I didn't hate it. And for somebody who's been pretty, not super excited about the DC movies, I think that's a form of praise.
Yeah. Wait, how did you like that sweet Cyborg CGI?
I don't know. It looked kind of iffy at best.
Did you watch it in a small screen or did you blow it up full screen?
I watched it full screen.
Yeah, it looks pretty
well, on my computer monitor, it's like 24 inches.
Oh, man, it looks such dog shit.
What, you were like talking about face? Him with his face?
Yeah, it looks like a cartoon. Like, clearly, they'll clean it up in the final mix, but it's like, why show it now? Now I'm just going to be like, this looks stupid.
Yeah. I like Cyborg in that one cartoon where they're all the super kids are living together.
Teen Titans?
That's it.
Yeah, he's definitely a fan favorite, but in this one I could care less about him. Like I think they did an awesome job of selling me on the Aquaman movie. I'm like, fuck, that movie can't come fast enough. I'm sold on Momoa's Aquaman just kicking everybody's ass and stuff like that. At first I'm like, why are they showing this movie? Why didn't they save it for Wonder Woman? And then when I watched the second time, I realized that they put Wonder Woman front and center like this entire trailer. And yeah. So it's like, I see. It's a way for them to cleverly market Wonder Woman without shoving the property down your throat. And I was like, kudos to you, DC marketers.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was fine. I mean, I'm not ready to declare it the greatest trailer in the history of trailers like some people are. But I think... Batman looks cool, Aquaman looks cool, Wonder Woman looks cool, Flash looks cool, so four-fifths of them look cool.
Cyborg is not the father.
Yeah, exactly. The results are in. And we were talking about Superman brief before we went on the air. I think he's going to come in the third act. I think this movie, they're either searching for Superman or searching for something to bring Superman back, and he'll come back in his black suit.
Oh,
so
shit.
That should be fun, like Go Raiders,
Coke King.
Yeah, the Coke
King. Little backstory for those who don't know what Coke King is, and really, why should you? Back when we all used to work at a car dealership, at one point in time, we started taking repossessed vehicles that we might be able to sell or put at auction or whatever. And one day, was it an Escalade? It was some big expensive SUV that somebody had put DeLorean style like gull wing doors on, and then had this like 70s
airbrush.
Spray airbrush like spray painted artwork on the back of piles of cocaine and dollar bills and everything everywhere, like straight out of Scarface, and it said Coke King written on it. What kind of asshole would drive around in a car like that and expect not to get pulled over?
Didn't it have Al Pacino on the back, on the tailgate?
I think it like a crude rendition of Al Pacino, yeah.
I'm here for your daughter.
Like, hey, it's Sunday at the swap meet, and this dude's doing some really cool spray paint art, so I'm going to have him tag my car, kind of thing. But, oh my God, why? So somebody clearly put a lot of money, like... Who does custom gull wing doors on a goddamn ginormous SUV? I've never seen that before or since. Much less just advertise that you are a narcotics magnet.
Yes.
Come on.
It was like that. Remember we had that F-250? Remember that the guy like hand drew with paint like the Raiders logos?
David and I worked on the weekends. We worked on Saturdays, but Randy did not, and he would conveniently schedule appointments for people to come pick up their repossessed cars on the days he wasn't there, so Dave and I had to deal with it.
And sometimes if we were lucky, at 4:59, he would tell us, or this is how he'd always phrase it, he'd be like, I don't think they're going to come in. I told them they're not open on Saturdays, and they should come on Monday, but they may show up tomorrow. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. They may come in tomorrow.
Well, to be fair.
Come in. Oh, Randy set an appointment with David or Justin. I'm like, God damn it.
To be fair, I rarely wasn't the one personally setting the appointments.
Oh, yeah, it was usually, that credit union.
It was usually the credit union.
That's right.
Sometimes they caught me off guard.
Telesis? Is that what they were called?
Yeah, that's what they were.
Wow. Interesting bunch. Anyway.
Small world. You guys love Venom, right? Randy, Venom's your all-time favorite character because you love Spider-Man 3. Is that correct? Am I
right? Yeah, he is my favorite part of Spider-Man 3.
that's not hard, I guess. You went for an R-rated version of Venom?
Only if Topher Grace comes back.
Ooh. I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah, it's going to be his own movie. Like, I think like he'll be like the main hero, I guess, and they want to make it R-rated, and they want it to take place outside of the Tom Holland Spider-Verse, because Tom Holland is DC, is Marvel and Sony collaborative. This one would be just a Sony picture, so there wouldn't be any crossover, because Marvel probably isn't down for an R-rated movie. So how's this going to work, Randy?
I have no idea how this is going to work.
Will audience accept two separate, like, Spider-Verses? Like, one with Spider-Man and one without?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, can you have Venom without having a Spider-Man?
Sounds like it.
Well, I think there's sort of this... I mean, I haven't read Spider-Man comics in ages, but I feel like there was an era where Venom was more of an anti-hero, and... I mean, while he does bad things, he would also, you know, stop the bad guy, but just be a little bit more morally flexible in how he went about doing it.
Yeah, kind of like Spawn.
Yeah. It's yeah, like, he was their just answer. Tear their arms off so they can't steal anymore kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
What about you, Justin? Is this a property that interests you?
Venom. Sort of. There was that short film that our buddy Eddie Shankar did, Truth in Journalism, which was sort of a fun little take on Venom. And I enjoyed that. But I don't know. He might be one of those characters that's better in small doses. But, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, because, I mean, he doesn't really talk a lot. And it's just kind of I don't know, I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around it. Mean, I think it could be cool, like, visually.
Right, I think if they do it in a way where it's more of a psychological thriller as opposed to your traditional superhero movie, it might be a little bit more appealing. You know, like him actually suffering and struggling with the costume, you know, and being out of control with it. I think that would make more sense. You know, like going on a drunken binge, running over 50 people and not remembering it kind of thing. In his case, tearing off
never
heads.
Never again.
I don't know. Something like that could be a little bit more interesting. But again, I don't know if that's 90 minutes interesting. I think that the short film or, you know, an animated episode might be a little bit more down the correct avenue.
20 minutes, you're in, you're out, done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to sell.
Yeah, not every character in the world needs their own movie.
Right.
Just ask Tank Girl.
Oh.
Ice-T was in that movie, you know. He played the guy, the kangaroo dog things, whatever they were called.
I forgot about that movie. I saw that at the drive-in. You believe that?
Yeah, just people have shitty taste. What can I say? Was it playing with something that was better, I hope?
Oh, I don't remember. What, 95, 96, whenever the hell that movie came out?
Yeah, 94, 95.
Yeah, I'm sure something amazing.
like Soldier or something?
That was later, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 97. Also not a good film, but it's the Death Star, your boy Kurt Russell.
I do like the Kurt Russell. Which is an interesting segue into fucking Escape from New York.
Remake!
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez.
Huh.
It's one of your favorite movies. What do you think of that? Do you think it needs to be remade? And B, is Rodriguez the guy to do it? And C, who you want to be the new Snake Plissken?
So I am okay with it being rebooted only because the movie takes place in like 97 or something like that. So
right.
We're 20 years past that. So I'm okay with it being remade altogether, to where it's a complete reboot. I think that it's an interesting story. So I'm okay with that, but in the event that it gets sort of retooled and reworked, I would absolutely love if it just became a third installment in the franchise. I think Kurt Russell is on fucking cloud nine right now. He's got all these amazing roles that he's been doing. He's going to be coming off of fucking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And I just love Fast and the Furious, Hateful Eight. I just love this resurgence in his career. And I think if done right and in the right hands, it could be really, really good. And he loves the character. Like, Kurt Russell absolutely adores the character Snake Plissken. He took the outfit home with him after he was done shooting, for crying out loud. And then when it was time to make Escape from L.A., he showed up on set with his old outfit, which is pretty fucking cool. He was like, all right, guys, I'm ready to do this. And they're like, the fuck, man? We got a whole other outfit for you. He's like, nah, dude, I got the pants and the coat. It's okay. Fun,
it's like, shit still fits.
Working out hard to get into this.
Yeah, which is pretty fantastic. So he loves the character, and I think if he's excited for it, it could be sort of like how Harrison Ford put in his all for, Force Awakens. Yeah.
So you don't you'll take a reboot if that's what you have to get, but you'd prefer it to be a third installment. Absolutely. With Kurt Russell or without Kurt Russell?
With. Absolutely with.
Escape from New York again.
From Cleveland.
Yeah, we never got the Cleveland story, but no. I mean, either way, even if it's a passing of the torch sort of story, I'd be okay with that too. I just fucking love Kurt Russell and everything that he does, so I am, of course, biased. But since he loves the character, I love the character. It was one of my first real dabbles into science fiction when I was a kid. I mean, that movie came out in 82, for crying out loud, and I remember my dad showing me, and I still say, you guys hear me say, like, Super Mega A number one. I got the A number one from that movie. There was the Duke of New York, and he says that he is in charge, and he is A number one. And I've got it from that movie. It's been with me ever since I was a kid.
Nice. And Escape from L.A., you know, it ends in a way that you could have a sequel, you know?
Yeah, the whole world goes dark.
Yeah, that's the kind of world that someone like Snake Plissken would thrive in.
Yes. He would be the Coke King.
He would be the new Coke King, yeah. Well, what about the idea of Rodriguez, you know, bringing it back? He's had some struggles as of late, but you know, he was a pretty good filmmaker, and you know, maybe this could be his resurgence. Are you excited for the prospect of him directing a Escape from New York?
I am, only because I feel like that's the kind of movie that might have even inspired him to be a filmmaker in the first place.
That's a good call.
So I think that it would be in good hands, and I think it would even be sort of in the vein of like Desperado and El Mariachi, you know, where someone is just put up against extraordinary circumstances and comes out on top. And I think that Snake Plissken is sort of the Rocky of the criminal underworld, and I think that Rodriguez could sell that.
Nice. The only thing that makes me nervous about Rodriguez is he loves to shoot that green screen shit, like to where there's like no actual sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love for him to open it up. But what about, you know, since more than likely they will recast Snake Plissken, who do you have anyone in mind that you could see taking up the leather jacket?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple. I think like your Tom Hardys could probably pull it off. I don't know. There's all kinds of. I think Anthony Mackie could probably do
it. Ooh. I could see that.
I don't know. I think it. I think it would be interesting.
Get like a Michael Fassbender in there.
Yeah.
People like Michael Fassbender. Michael B. Jordan. He can do anything because he's the best.
He can. So.
Well, what about you, Randy? Are you I don't know. I don't know if we've ever heard. Do you have love for the Escape from New York and franchise?
Yeah, I do. I actually remember seeing Escape from LA when it first came out. And again, as with many movies, I saw that one before I saw the original. But I still appreciated it.
But like when he's making all those baskets to save his life.
It's just one of those things. I appreciate Kurt Russell as much as you guys do, I think. So I would hope that that if they do a third one, that he's involved in some way, shape, or form. But I think the movies are fun, and if a reboot is what's needed, Robert Rodriguez, I like him. I like his style a lot. His older style, not so much the green screen style, like you were saying. So I think it could be in good hands with him.
Nice. Well, cool. Yeah, no, I'm pumped for it. I too love the franchise. I even like Escape from LA, even with Steve Buscemi and all those characters. But I think that they unfortunately will probably end up recasting, and I think anyone we named would be good. And like I said, my only beef with Rodriguez is he loves to shoot in front of that blue screen shit. And Sin City 2 is pretty terrible, but. He's working on Alita Battle Angel with James Cameron, so James Cameron's involved. It must be good, and hopefully it'll bring him back to prominence. Good times! You know what wasn't good times? Fucking Flash Supergirl musical episode. I know, Justin, you're over the CW shows and you don't watch them, but Randy, you said you had not seen the show yet?
I have it on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Do yourself a favor. Go down to your DVR, select it, and just go underneath play and hit delete. It is. It has nothing to like. I sat there watching this, thinking to myself, "Well, I'm glad they had this episode. I was getting too interested and involved and enjoying the show too much because of what they've been doing with Savitar and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm glad they were able to slow it down and completely make me uninterested in Flash again. Like it was.
Mm.
Like it has. It's completely an irrelevant episode. Has nothing to do with any of the plots. And yeah, it's just weird. It's like a Wizard of Oz type thing where like everybody's in the episode, but they're all playing not themselves, and they're all playing these like terrible cartoon characters from like the 20s, and the only people that are playing themselves are Barry and Supergirl, whatever her fucking name is, something L, I'm sure. Kara L. I can't keep up. But yeah, skip that shit. It's no bueno.
That's a bummer.
It was a bummer, because I've been really enjoying The Flash this year. Have you been enjoying it, Randy?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, got all that shit with, are they going to be able to save Iris? Is she going to get the killed? They're changing the future? They got two episodes with gorillas? Everybody likes gorillas.
Gorillas or Gorillas.
Gorillas.
Yeah. Gorillas.
Got a whole city full.
He said gorillas, not gorillas. But yeah, no, and then the Speed Force episode was really cool, and yeah, I was totally digging it, and like it was just, I had like 4 episodes recorded, so I kind of like binged like 3.5 of them, and I fell asleep during the musical episode. I'm like, oh, fuck this noise. Literally, it was noise. But that's neither here nor there. Do you watch Arrow too, Randy, or are you?
I do watch it.
I have like 8 episodes I have to watch. Is it worth watching?
That's okay.
Yeah, I have 8 episodes saved in my DVR right now. Should probably get that. And you watch all of them. You watch Legends of Tomorrow too, don't you?
I do. I'm a sucker, and I do watch all of them.
Oh, you watch Supergirl too?
I do.
Kiss, Randy. Got a problem.
What's her cheese? Katie Cassidy's coming back to Arrow.
Yeah, full time. Season 6.
Series regular, yeah.
Yeah, just further proof that no one's really dead in these shows.
I know, and it's her Earth 2 character. The one that appeared on Flash. That got locked up a season ago.
Oh, like the bad one?
Yeah.
Is she reformed now?
I don't know the answer to that. I would be pissed if I was locked away in that little tiny cell. So it would make more sense if she was upset. But maybe I can't even pretend to know, but it gives fucking the dad, we'll call him Mr. Lance because I forget his name.
His first name's Detective.
Right.
He will have another crack at, you know, having a daughter again, I'm sure. So that'll be nice for him. My God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't do but it, Flash man.
Yeah, Flash has been pretty good this season. I've been impressed. Tom Felton is a nice little addition, and you know he's been kind of like this like foil to Caitlin Snow, and Cisco's coming into his Vi powers, and Wally's a speedster now, and you got Jesse Quicks, you got 3 speedsters, and
ugh, that's too much.
Then you've got Savitar, and you've got
Savitar, the bad speedster, and
you got all the speedsters.
Yeah,
is he the one that looks like Super Shredder?
Yes, he is. He looks like Super Shredder mixed with Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin.
Chill.
Yeah, yeah, he's the bad guy. He's the big bad this season.
Oh.
Yeah, Barry glimpsed a vision of the future in which he kills Iris, and like
who
he
kills
the,
Iris?
Savitar.
Oh, okay, Super Shredder.
And Super Shredder. And so this whole season they've been trying to like change events in the future, hoping they can change that event. So it's been kind of an interesting experiment.
What are the flashbacks in Arrow these days? Is it the Russian flashbacks? Is that what I heard? Is he like in Russia?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's his dealings with like the Russian like mob and stuff like that. But now it's come out like that. Now people in like present day know that he wasn't on the island the whole 5 years like his story has been all along. They've now learned that he like was in Hong Kong and he's been in Russia, so you know
it's all a lie.
Yeah, and so now they're like, this guy's full of shit type thing.
Yeah. Is he still mayor of Townville or whatever the fuck?
He's still mayor of Townville where the Powerpuff Girls live. I think that was them. They were Townville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do it, man. I tried. It just upsets me, those shows.
Yeah, Arrow's... Especially because the end of last season, like, the Team Arrow broke up. And so they all were, like, separate. Like, none of... Like, Theo went her way, and, you know, Oliver went one way, and Oliver and Felicity broke up, so they were going other ways, and they were both dating other people, and then Diggle went and did something else, and...
Yeah, because he had to kill his brother, so he was all mad.
Yeah.
And Arrow told him 1,000 times not to trust his brother. His brother's full of shit. He was banging 8 Mile's girlfriend in the soundproof room, and it's a problem. And then Diggle didn't believe it, and then he ended up having to kill him anyway.
Yeah, and it was sad.
Yeah. That's one of those, yeah. I told you so kind of moments.
Yeah, so they built this whole team that we care about, and then at the end they just, like, dismantled it, and now Arrow's got a new team of fucking people I could care about. Like, Casey Jones is on his team now, or... I don't know.
What? Casey Jones? He is Casey Jones.
He is. It's funny. Yeah, he's got some guy with a hockey mask.
Oh, it's not really Casey Jones?
No, it's not actual Casey Jones.
Oh, I was about
to do make it. They do make several Casey Jones jokes.
That almost formed a fucking paradox. Doc Brown would have been proud.
The Arrowverse implodes.
But somehow Justin almost was just unborn just now.
Yeah, serious. I mean, like, so, honestly, I don't think it gets any better than the first two seasons. I thought those two were incredible. I love season one and two of Arrow. And two had, you know, cranked it up a notch, and we had Slade Wilson being just a total psychopath, and we got to see why he went so crazy, and it all made sense, and it was awesome. And it just hasn't been good ever since.
Yeah, and they should have killed the flashbacks after he was done with the island. That should have been the end of the flashbacks, and everybody hates the flash. I fast forward it. Even my kids hate the flashbacks. They're like, oh, fast forward, David. But the producers are like hell-bent on like giving us these flashbacks that like have like a tangential like fifth degree connection to the actual plot, and it's like,
yeah, it's not good enough. The payoff is just not there.
Like, the payoff on the island was great. Like, Slade was on the island and he fucking hates Arrow because Arrow got shadow killed and shit like that. Like, like, that stuff was cool and it all paid off, but nothing in Hong Kong paid off. I mean it introduced us to this character that showed up to like help in the League of Assassins for like 2 seconds, but and then when they went back to the island again, none of that really paid off, you know, except you kind of learned a little bit about Damien Dark that you could have easily learned through, like, two lines of dialogue. And so far this season, all Russian thing, from what I've seen, it doesn't pay off for shit.
Yeah, and it won't. Unless it's Highlander, I'm not interested in flashbacks.
Ricky Bobby, I saw the Highlander.
It was shit.
It was shit. It won the... Won the award for best movie
ever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan. So, like, you said I was finished with the CW shows. And part of that has to do with Hulu not having them anymore. But it was good. It felt like it's like Hulu was so sick of them that they decided not to have them anymore. It was like, Justin, this is for your benefit. So we're going to go ahead and just stop showing you these shows right now. So you can just go and live your life.
He's like, you'll thank us later. In a couple months, your buddies are going to talk on a podcast with you about these shows. And you're going to be like, these shows sound fucking terrible.
I know. And see, I really like the originals, too. That was one that I wanted to keep watching. And it just started back up again in March. But that's season 4. And it's like a half season. It's only 13 episodes this season.
I mean, the CW app's not terrible. It just has commercials.
Yeah. I'm sure. I just I want to see how the whole originals end.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
You might have to check it out. On WWB.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't do that anymore.
That stupid frog.
Oh shit.
Back in the days of Smallville.
I don't suppose we have a list. Randy, do you have one in your pocket?
Okay,
I'm a bad ass movie list. Let's see what the Google machine brings. That's action movies you need to see before you die.
Perfect. Let's do it. What do you got?
Nice.
All right. 12 badass action movies you need to see before you die. Number 12. The Magnificent Seven from 1960. I mean, that one had... It's like the Ocean's 11. Yeah. Steve McQueen, all those people. I mean, everyone.
Yul Brynner. One
of the mother was in it. Yul Brynner.
That was a good one. I agree. I like it.
Yeah, well, so far so good. Number 11, The Bourne Identity.
All right. I like that movie.
Yeah, no, I could watch Matt Damon kick people's asses for like 2 hours. It's pretty good.
Third one was my favorite.
Ultimatum?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. Was it Supremacy,
Identity,
the second one?
Supremacy and Ultimatum, and then Jason Bourne.
Yeah, I didn't see the most recent one.
It was not good. I mean, it was It was fine because Matt Damon's entertaining to watch, but they were grasping.
Gotcha.
Number 10, 1974's The Street Fighter.
With Van Damme.
No, with Sonny
Chiba. Raul Julia.
Yes, yes. That Street Fighter.
Yeah, Sonny Chiba, totally. Street Fighter, son of the Street Fighter, sister Street Fighter, all that action.
Number 9 you'll appreciate. Number 9, Casino Royale.
Wait, the 2000 and...
Daniel Craig, 2006.
Six, yeah. Sorry. Randy and I were jizzing all over each other when we saw that movie. It was so badass.
You see a grown man get his testicle whacked by a rope and ball.
Yeah, you get to see... and then he goes on to make the Death Star.
Yeah. So, see? You can move up in this villainy world.
Only after eating people, though, in Hannibal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in that. And you watched that, Randy. You like that show?
Oh, I love the shit out of that show. It got weird the last season when it was canceled. It took a real weird turn. But it went through the whole, did you ever see the Red Dragon movie?
No, I didn't see it. I know prequel. About it, though.
Yeah.
The prequel movie. It covers that entire story, which was based on the book. It covers a lot of stuff that had been done in the movies, but it was way bigger. It's just a really interesting, complex show. I highly recommend it.
Do you know who Mendelsohn's brother is? He was the voice of Rand Amothrawn in Rebels.
I did not know that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, so
perfect.
Alien Urso and Thrawn are related. Hmm. Number 8, 1972's Baby Card at the River Styx. Anybody? Bueller?
No, never seen it. I better see it before I die.
You better see it. It's got a lot of Japanese-sounding names in here, though, so it may not be in the English.
These are a lot of old movies on this list.
Well, these are the ones you got to see before you die. Everyone's seen Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately,
Spider-Man.
Not everyone has seen 1968's Bullet, another Steve McQueen joint.
Yes, that's a badass movie. That's one with cop cars getting destroyed and all kinds of such.
Yeah, I can highly recommend that film. Number 6, 1988's Die Hard.
Oh, definitely.
No complaints with Die Hard.
Yes. I would say Hans. Booby. Booby.
I don't know this guy.
So great.
What's it going to be? He's got a gun. Point him. Number 5. Kind of a cop-out. It's 2 and 1. Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. Oh.
Those are two very different movies, by the way.
They are very different movies. Number 4 is kind of a hot take. It's a sequel to a great film. It's 2014's The Raid 2.
Oh, interesting. So, I'm one of the people that actually likes The Raid better than The Raid 2. I saw what they were trying to do with The Raid 2. It totally expanded on this crazy drug-filled universe, and it got very artistic. But I just happen to be more of the, here's this crazy world, here's this scenario, and you're thrown into it, and just watch. I thought the first one was just 100% cranked up to 11, badass.
Yeah, I think I felt like they tried to do too much and they strayed too far from what made the first Raid so amazing.
Yeah.
Another maybe hot take, number 3, Mad Max 2 from 1981.
Ooh, Randy.
Also known as The Road Warrior.
Do you like The Road Warrior more than Fury Road?
Oh, I don't know, man. I've only seen Fury Road once, so I don't feel equipped to answer that question. I feel like I need to see it a few more times. But, I grew up really loving The Road Warrior. I love just, like, the raw, gritty violence. Like, they didn't care about killing people and raping women and just, like, it was just shit that you could get away with in the 80s that they would not easily put into a movie now. But, man, Fury Road was so good.
Yeah, it's Fury Road all day for me.
I'm gonna have to say Fury Road, but Road Warrior is the number 2 Mad Max movie as far as I'm concerned. Then Thunderdome, then the original Mad Max.
Yeah, if you're fucking mind, Thunderdome is better. Master Blaster, Tina Turner. Fuck.
Thunderdome is terrible, but it's better than the first one. Because the first one, it wasn't the Mad Max that we all know and love now, you know?
Yeah. It was like Death Race 2000. It was kind of weird.
Totally. It was campy. It was very, like, contemporary for its time. It wasn't really post-apocalyptic. It was just middle of nowhere.
In a shitty future, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Crazy Town Banana Pants. Have you ever thought about, like, movies that are rated R in 1980 whatever or 70 whatever, would they still have an R rating or would it get bumped?
Oh yeah. Oh no. It goes the other way. Movies that were PG in 1980s should have been R.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes the other way.
That's interesting.
It's yeah.
It's like, man, they got away with this shit back then. Yeah.
All right. We will play, let's see if I can find enough people to make this game interesting here. No, I can't. All right. Number three, a personal favorite film of mine, Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee, 1973.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I used to watch that with my dad. He was a big kung fu movie guy, and so we used to watch bad kung fu movies on Saturday.
That's right, it's a sweet yellow outfit.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a good movie, like Enter the Dragon. A lot of times, no, not so much. And the number one badass action movie you need to see before you die from 1966, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
That is not an action movie.
It's just not. The last a minute is, maybe. It's a Western. It's a badass action movie. Just an action. It's an amazing film. I can't fault them for putting it on the list, but yeah, I would not classify it as the most badass action movie of all time. No. But the good folks at What Culture would.
Yeah. So when I think badass, I think shit like Predator or RoboCop.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are just a bunch of big dudes doing what big dudes do. And that seems more badass than The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. I mean, The Raid is perfect example, Raid 2, rather. That was, you see people doing moves in that movie that you didn't even know were humanly possible. And it's gratuitous violence.
Hey, what's your guys' take on Ghost in the Shell? Is it going to bomb?
I think it'll do well.
Think so?
I think it'll make its money back.
The power of Scarlett Johansson?
I mean, the guy that created it said that he didn't have a problem with the casting.
Yeah, well, good.
I mean, I know there's some people that do, and, you know, it may be rightfully so, but when the guy that creates it says, yeah, it's fine, it's kind of puts a little kink in the chain there.
Okay, let's play a game. So do you think, so Ghost in the Shell comes out next week. Beauty and the Beast has been the undisputed champion for 2 weeks in a row, so you have to think it'll probably get a noticeable dip. So, you know, it'll probably be in like the 50s, you know, next week. Maybe low, high 40s, low 50s. Does Ghost in the Shell make more than it next week, Randy?
I say yeah.
Ah, man. What do you say, Justin? What say you?
That'll make more than Beauty and the Beast next week?
Yeah, that'll make more than Beauty and the Beast next week.
I don't think so.
Just because it's the debuting movie and there's enough fans of the original material.
Power Rangers couldn't do it.
That's true.
Time Machine costs $20
billion. I feel like Ghost in the Shell has a very niche audience. And several of those people in the audience is offended by this movie. So I think the people that are going to go see it are your Scarlett Johansson fans and someone that just shows up at the theater and says, oh yeah, what's out? Oh, I don't want to deal with a crowd of Beauty and the Beast, so let's go see Ghost in the Shell.
That's it. That makes a lot of sense. I think my guess is that it'll make $40 million and it will quickly disappear from the box office list.
$40 million?
$40 million.
Wow.
I just doesn't have, unless I'm significantly underestimating the box office allure of Scarlett Johansson, I just don't see this having like the mass appeal that, you know, other franchise, and we've already started summer, man. Summer started in February this year. You know, we had so many big movies in February. We've already had like three huge movies in March. Now we're getting this movie, and people are already starting to get to the point to where they know summer's going to start, and they're going to start getting the superhero movies. I think people don't have the money to spend on all these movies, and I think they've blown their load on what's come out already, and now they're going to kind of have to pause for like a month and really decide what they want to see. And I think most people are going to be like, "What the fuck's this movie where Scarlett Johansson looks like she's naked, but she's not naked, and she's kind of a robot?" What?
I think $40 million is generous, Dave.
Oh, you were surprised I went that high.
Yeah.
Well, what number are you thinking? Like 25?
Yeah, I was thinking 20s.
Oh, dang. Oh, wow, that would be a lot. I wonder what the last, probably other than her, I wonder what the last Scarlett Johansson movie that opened at less than 20.
How well did Lucy do? Do you know?
Incredibly well. Lucy made a fortune. That's why they gave Luc Besson all that money to make Valerian in the City of Tony. Lucy made almost $500 million worldwide.
That was fun. The only thing that bothers me is when she's typing really fast, she's moving too fast for the computer. Computers don't move as fast as she does.
I can see that.
Like when she's on the plane and she's coming up with a plan to save the world or whatever the fuck.
Uh-huh.
There is no internet speed
right
that could handle what she's doing.
It's like T3.
On a plane, for that matter.
All right, so we'll go through Scarlett Johansson. So her most recent movie was Sing, which made $1 trillion, but it's an animated movie, so we won't count that. That's actually her most profitable film. Hang on, is it sorted by date? Let me sort it by date here. Oh, sorry. Okay, so Sing, and then the movie before that was Captain America: Civil War, which made $1 billion. Then
ensemble,
The Jungle Book before that.
But it's ensemble
which made
cast, though.
Oh, I know. I'm just going through her films. Jungle Book, which was, you know, another Disney property, but animated. You know, she made $1 billion. Age of Ultron, same thing. So then you get a movie like Lucy, which did really well. Then Winter Soldier. Then Her. Then you get Avengers. So you got to go to, like, We Bought a Zoo. In, like, 2011, is probably the last time she had a big opening. Let's see what that made its opening weekend. I mean, but that's more Matt Damon star power. But, yeah, that made $10 million opening weekend. So you got to buy 2011 to find a movie, Scarlett Johansson's, that didn't open big.
So, I mean, I think she is amazing, and Black Widow is one of my favorite Avengers. But I just don't see the draw to this particular franchise.
I agree.
That's my concern. It's not so much her, it's the actual Ghost in the Shell franchise. I mean, it came out, what, like 20-something years ago, the anime? And I saw it one time, and I was barely impressed. And I haven't thought about it ever again until this movie was was announced.
It came out in 1985? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Huh. I thought I was older than that. I thought I was like Akira old, like late 80s. Well, what do I know? But yeah, I think she's a draw. You know, I think people saw Lucy just based off of her. And I mean, if they cast someone other than Scarlett Johansson, I think this movie makes even less. I know the big controversy over casting Scarlett Johansson and, you know, the whitewashing of the film, but I think it makes more money with Scarlett Johansson than without Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, sure. I think you are absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Take that, Hollywood social justice warriors. Yeah.
I just honestly would have preferred a Black Widow movie over Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, and I'm sure Scarlett Johansson would have too. I think she would love to do one.
I'm a sucker for the femme fatale. You guys know that I always play badass women in my video games. But I just think it would be a really cool sort of spy adventure to watch.
Natasha Romanoff?
Natasha Romanoff, exactly. Doing what she does. Apart from the Avengers.
And it wouldn't even be expensive.
Mm-mm. It doesn't have to be.
No, like they could make a Black Widow movie for like $45 million.
Sure, just some sort of government espionage with some badass fight scenes and done.
Are you trying to tell me that the Black Widow and Marvel name can't make them $45 million back to where this is even a gamble?
Right.
They would rather give, you know, people like Doctor Strange movies.
It did well.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the Marvel brand.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Black Widow is such an established character. She kicks ass. She has no superpowers, but I still have no problem believing she's an Avenger. I have more problem believing like Hawkeye is an Avenger. But like Scarlett Johansson, she's got like tasers on her wrist and she's like kicking Captain America's ass. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, she has sort of an Inspector Gadget / Batman vibe going on with her. She's a total badass. She's got the sweet gadgets and she kicks ass.
Yeah, and I think she was a slam dunk for the first superheroine movie.
Yeah,
you know, like we'd established her over so many films.
Right. I mean, the first time you saw her in Iron Man 2, when Happy's like fighting that one guy and she just beats the shit out of like 10 dudes. You're like, all right, I'm on board. That was pretty badass. And then it just kept upping the ante.
And it just kept making her like the sidekick. You know, I'm grateful. I mean, she's in Winter Soldier. She does great. She's in Iron Man 2. She does great. You know, she's in the Avengers movie. She does great. But I think she's ready to step on the big stage. Right, Randy?
Right.
Howard Johnson is right.
Howard Johnson is right. But yeah, that's all I got. You guys got anything else? Mm.
I have a correction to make from last week's episode.
Okay.
I erroneously said that the Twin Suns episode of Star Wars Rebels was the season finale. It was, in fact, not, because we had a whole hour-long, two-parter episode that was full of Grand Admiral Thrawn goodness. That is the proper season finale. So, David, if you haven't watched it yet, you got to get on that, because it's your boy being a badass.
I'm all over it. I'm gonna watch it. Probably not tonight. I got to get up early, but... probably sometime tomorrow when I get a sec.
Cool. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything when I say this, but there's a lot of space battling in this. It's like one of the first big skirmishes between, I guess it is the first big skirmish between the Rebellion and the Empire, and we see a lot of capital ships go kablooey. Like, more than we see blow up in Return of the Jedi. So, it's...
Well, I hope it's more Rebel ships than Empire ships, because, you know, Grand Admiral Thrawn's pretty cool.
Well, you'll have to watch that and find out for yourself. But
as long as Grand Admiral Thrawn's ship doesn't go boom.
No. It goes pretty much as you would expect it to go.
Nice. No casualties on the Empire side, and the Rebellion is completely destroyed.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but the Rebellion gets spanked.
Yeah, that's what you get, fucking traitors. The bad guys, you know. It's so funny, like when I go to like Cub Scouts, I'm like that, and they're like, why do you have the bad guys on your leg? I'm like, they're the good guys. The other guys are terrorists. They're the ones attacking the government. Converting these kids. I'm gonna convert a whole generation of sociopaths. Rooting for the Empire, the Shark and Jaws, and the T-Rex.
I love it.
Take that, modern cinema.
Yeah, I gotta fight for what really matters.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? You got anything? Any corrections? Did you say something dumb last week that you regret?
I say something dumb every day. So, no.
You like
other than the list. What's that?
You like the Cal Ripken Jr. of saying dumb stuff.
Yes. That every single day. Iron Man streak. Never missed a day of saying something stupid. No. I'm good, man.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, make sure you listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network, including the Pixelated Podcast, with an ever-so-cheery Justin Kavner, because he records in the daytime, and he's like, I'm so happy to be alive!
It was like 7:30. It was 7:30 in the morning.
It's like animated birds in his door, in his windowsill, and they bring him like his monster drink, and he's just so happy to be with Stephen K. James. And, a good time. And then you got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff, where they talk about comics on their pull list and make you sound smarter than you really are. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or the other way around. at Geek Legacy, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews.